Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
On this beautiful Arizona morning, you could be waking up at the Cottonwood Hotel. It's on the southwest corner of Canal and Main Street. Small historic inn with only 8 units, the only hotel in Cottonwood with a balcony overlooking Old Town. Opened for business in 1917, and 9 years later, two gentlemen who operated under multiple aliases but were born Willard Forrest and Paul Huffman spent the last night of their free life there. The following morning, they walked past Sheriff Jim Roberts and entered the Bank of Arizona in downtown Clarkdale, just 5 miles away, disguised as Salvation Army employees. Roberts was there to protect the payroll as it was a Friday and was extra security. On the inside of the bank, Willard and Paul pulled their pistols on the unsuspecting tellers. The two took off with more than $50,000, roughly $750,000 in today's dollar. They may have gotten away, but they made one mistake.
And what was that?
The bank manager, David Saunders, they were going to lock into the vault, and he talked them out of that. Oops. So when they turned around and left, Mr. Saunders took out his pistols and ran to chase him. And the gunshots he started firing alerted Sheriff Roberts, who calmly pulled out his pistol and shot Willard as he got behind the driver's seat of the getaway car. His companion, Mr. Huffman, took after Sheriff, but was tackled by two civilians on the street who held him there till Huffman calmly walked over, slapped iron on him, and took him away.
The Wild West.
And it's not quite so wild anymore. If you were staying at the Cottonwood Hotel, you could walk down to 5 wine and spirit tastings, 13 cafes, 9 antique shops, 6 galleries, 3 boutique shops, historic tours, nature trails, the Verde River, live performances at Old Town Center of the Arts, and in just 5 short weeks, you have the Old Town Bootleggers Bash, which is Saturday from 10 to 5, free music showcasing local bands, hooch, brews, wines, restaurants, and merch.
What's the date on that one?
9/21, September 21st. Just one of the treasures of Cottonwood, which is this month's featured staycation. Every month, we have a send a lucky winner on an Arizona staycation, and we feature that destination all month long with trivia facts and a little bit of history. Just bringing a little bit of Arizona to you wherever you are. You can sign up for your Arizona staycation by visiting rosieonthehouse.com/travelaz. But the rest of the programming this hour is for all of those of you who have ever said to yourself,
I should have been a cowboy.
I need to talk to you first, Grandpa. It's very serious.
This should be good.
I'm going to be a cowboy. I don't have a horse. So can you buy me one?
I'll feed it every day, I'll brush it every day, I'll bathe it every day. I'll even learn how to braid so I can braid it. I'll ride it to school, I'll ride it every morning. I will even clean out his poop.
I'm gonna help you train the horse, okay?
His whole life's in your hands now, Tate. What do you name him?
Lucky.
That's a good name. He'll do good for you.
Thank you.
So if you've ever asked yourself that question, that's where it all starts. You got to start with your horse. And to help us pick that first horse, we've got Rocco Walkman from the Cowboy College in with us this morning. And a native from New York, Manhattan. At some point, you asked yourself, said to yourself, I should have been a cowboy, and you moved out west. Tell us your story.
You know, Horace Greeley said, go west, young man. And I've been doing that ever since I'm about 28 years old. Just went west, more west, and hit the ocean, and I said, that's too far. And I came back a little bit, and I came to Arizona, I think in 1989.
And you are one of the lead instructors at the Arizona Cowboy College?
I'm a senior instructor at the Arizona Cowboy College. It was started years ago in the early 90s by a dear friend of mine named Lloyd Bridwell, who's now grazing in greener pastures.
And so when you're picking your first horse, when you're instructing your students, what are you telling them to look for?
You know, the most important thing is to get a horse that's at your level, because you can pretty much take a horse anywhere you want it to go. But if it's too much horse, it's just not good for you. If you're better than the horse, you could bring it along. If the horse is better than you and he's really not really kind or forgiving, you can get in a lot of trouble. Getting people, somebody gets scared, it hurts everything because it makes a big black mark.
How does the horse know how good you are within 10 seconds of you getting in the saddle?
Horses could tell as soon as you get on if you know what you're doing and you know if you're not. I have a horse, his name is Jimmy, and he's been trained by some of the great trainers in Scottsdale. And if you step on him and you sit on him like a passenger, he'll take advantage right from the first stride. If you step on him and he feels your legs and the way you pick the reins up, he's like, okay, I got to work for 40 minutes right off the bat. Yeah, it's the horses are great. They take in information very, very well. They get from a quarter of a mile, they have to decide if they're going to run from you or not. No canine teeth, no claws. They're prey animals. So they're really good at reading people.
So as the person, when you step on, how do you know if you're the passenger or the rider?
I think you're supposed to decide that before you get on, right?
Well, that's the problem. People, you know, everybody's, I'm an expert rider. And all of a sudden you hear, whoa. And those two words shouldn't be right next to each other. It's a tough thing. It's dangerous. You know, the most lucrative thing I do is expert witness testimony. And it's a single dangerous, most dangerous recreational activity a person can do. I mean, the amount of accidents that happen, more than 50% of the accidents happen while you're on the ground. And then the rest are while you're on top of them. It's not a matter of if you're going to get hurt, it's going to be when and how bad. You know, is it a bite? Is it a step on? Or you really get mauled? It's a tough industry. I wish it were safer.
Well, when you're what was your experience when you first got on a horse? What was the first time you sat in the saddle?
I was 3.5 years old. I got run away with. Yeah. I remember screaming, and it was just horrible. And back in those days, I was tied to the saddle, so I had stay on the same leather. This guy with a cigarette strapped me in, and I was just petrified. Didn't want to have anything to do with it.
How long did it take you to get back on after that?
Like about 10 years. Yeah.
Of course.
And when I came to Arizona, I was blessed to meet a family that's iconic in Scottsdale, the Bridwell family. Horse related, and through Lloyd Bridwell and Lori Bridwell, I met some of the best horsemen in the Southwest that for some reason took me under their wing, and I just went from place to place, and they were just shared a lot of information that it would took lifetimes. I mean, from here, I actually worked at Molokai Ranch in Hawaii. Being horseback with cattle is amazing.
And at the Cowboy College, what from the beginning of the class, let's say I've never ridden before, I've never picked a horse's hoof, I've never saddled a horse, I've never brushed one off. From day one to first in the saddle, how long a time till I'm horseback?
The first day at the college, and it is my standard, I'll talk to people and show people things with horses for over 2 hours before I give them a halter. And even if it's a lesson, that's my standard. Your first time. You're not even going to get on a horse until I talk to you about all the possibilities. You know, signing a release form that you don't read, in my opinion, is not responsible. Okay? But when I tell you...
What do you mean you don't read?
I watch them do it.
Words, yeah.
Our release form at the bottom... at the bottom of our release form, which I don't use, it actually says, I have read... And you're supposed to print that. And nobody does it because they don't read it. Yeah. So it's incredible. But it's good. The fear flight animal, no canine teeth, no claws. The only way they protect themselves is to stay in a large group, turn 180 degrees and run. Slowest guy gets eaten. So out of this group, it's me. So.
And how many students will you take on in a session?
No more than 6.
Okay.
When Lloyd was alive, we would do 10, 12 maybe. It is so. We've had VC people, money, they want to come in, build a 50-room bunkhouse and do the... No, we'd kill people. And it was my job for 6 days is to get people immersed in this. In 2 days at the ranch in Scottsdale, and then we're going to be at a ranch somewhere in the state of Arizona, normally north of Cave Creek, they are in it with me right next to me. You know, if a bull turns around and charges us, if we're on the ground and a calf gets loose and knocks one of these people over, I mean, it's just, it's like, it's cowboy immersion program.
And How long is the program? I guess it could probably be as long as you wanted. I mean, you never really stop learning on horseback.
No, we got, it's a five-day class. Like I said, it's the Cowboy Immersion Program. We got 2 days in Scottsdale where we have to get the people riding well enough where they can keep up with me on the ranch. We go to the ranch, have no idea. They do what I need to do. Could be fix fence, could be work on water lines, it could be gathering cows, branding, castrating, any or all of the above. And it because it's real work, they enjoy it. You know, I could send a wrangler out and give him $50 and say, I want 20 cows over by Seven Springs on Tuesday. And we pick them up and we just move them. We don't do that. We just, they do real work. And for that, they are so appreciative. I have classes that never even seen a cow.
Do you have women too?
2,000 people since 1994, just about 50%.
Great.
On the men, it's 35 to 52 Fortune 500 types. In the women, it's 18 to 30. Basically, women looking for a sabbatical.
Huh. Interesting. And how far out are you booked? If I wanted to start Cowboy College, when's the next available class to start?
You know, we're shut down. We used to do it 9 months. No, 11 months. 11 months of the year. And we shut down July and August because it was just too hot. You know, we're finished work at noon, and then what do you do for the rest of the day? So we're back up in September. We try and do the bookings. We'll leave a hole or two each month because we know we're going to fill it. We try and stretch people out as far as they know they can go. So this way, in case we do have a short notice one, we can throw them in.
Okay, very good. You can go to cowboycollege.com for all the details and get started if you wanted to sign up and spend a little time learning. I mean, even if you did nothing else, past it, that 1 week, you're going to have a memory for the rest of your life that you can
share. It's the experience of a lifetime. People think when they come, it's about the horses and the cows. And when they leave, they realize it was about themselves. It's my job to find out.